Welcome back to Castology listeners. I'm your host tonight.
It's 9 a.m. in the morning.
With drink and the zine drain.
Do we have one for you, Let, yet, Liz?
I have not been gifted.
Usually, the female, the token woman, is just their
and
name.
Liz.
Yeah.
Trick the zine train with Lizbeth.
I get to be the with.
The bestie?
No, that doesn't sit well with me either. I can just be the with Liz Best.
This is Castology, where we review podcasts and
talk shit at the start of said podcast.
Basically,
that reviews podcasts.
Well, the ones that I introduce anyway, because I find myself scrambling for
and words. We jumped in on top of you.
Yeah, that's that too. But that's fine. I need help. I'm out here in deep water.
Oh, here's some floaties for you, honey.
Thank you very much. Anyway, so the format of this show, if you haven't listened to this show before, is we basically review podcasts that we have recommended to each other.
Yeah, so last week we each brought a podcast to the show that we recommended, and then over the last week we've listened to it, and we're going to review it for you this week and then recommend three new podcasts.
And last week we had three recommendations. Liz, you recommended the Sugar Baby Confessionals.
I did.
Zane, you recommended Challenging Behaviors.
Correct.
And I recommended the Psychedelic Salon. Which would we like to start with?
Can you start with Sugar Baby Confessionals?
Yeah, why not?
Because I really want to know what you thought.
I really enjoyed the Sugar Baby Confessionals. I did only listen to the first episode, but I found myself compelled, and I think I will continue to listen to see where the rest of it goes. It's very much in my wheelhouse too, I think. You were mentioning that last episode, like this is your kind of thing. I feel similarly because of my favorite being tangentially speaking, and he gets, I imagine if this podcast sees success, he'll probably have these ladies on to talk about their experiences, because I feel like I remember in the first episode they mentioned a book which I have heard mentioned on Chris Ryan's podcast also. So I think that this is quite a tight community, like, and the people who are doing the experimentation that these girls are doing, they all sort of know each other and they learn from each other and take from each other.
It feels like they have a really nice little support network going, even just from within this podcast.
To.
Oh God, yeah, because it would be so easy to lose yourself in something like being a sugar baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a feeling that you would particularly like this, and I quite like the way that it's framed as well, in the fact that the host genuinely wants to find out the whys and the hows and make
genuine
sure her mate's
curiosity
okay.
From a host is invaluable.
And good lines of questioning, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what I really liked about it as well, is they don't shy away and they're not afraid to drill down on,
so to speak.
Yes, on like specific motivations and details. What I picked up about this when I first listened to it, before I did a thorough listening and when I recommended it to you, is that it is different to every other sex podcast I've listened to, because it's women talking to women about women's sexuality, with men not even coming into the picture except to maybe talk about whether they're enjoying their relationship with men. And that's something I've literally never heard on a podcast before. If the podcast isn't hosted by a man, it's usually women talking about men and how they deal with men. Whereas this podcast is all about
their feelings.
Their feelings and their satisfaction regardless of men's impact on it.
Yes.
So that's what I really liked about it. And I've listened to a fair bit of it now, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's what I hadn't quite put my finger on why I attached onto this so much, but I think you've articulated probably what I didn't really realize that I was thinking, is that it's so nice to hear the women on that podcast just talking about their own feelings and not discussing, like, they pass the Bechdel test because they're talking about themselves.
Themselves, they're not talking about
and
the men.
And occasionally a man will come in and he's not named, so it doesn't matter. Like.
Very interesting. Very interesting content, I think.
And it's nice to hear the vulnerability from the girls that are actually doing the sugar baby thing. Like, they're not all like, yeah, I'm going to like get money and it's going to be great. Like, they're excited, but there's that beautiful vulnerability of there's some things they're still nervous about, and it's like we're getting ready to go on the date with them, like the way that it's told.
This is one thing that I've noticed about when people start to experiment sexually and then talk about it on a podcast, it's never whatever stereotype you might have had in your head to begin with. It's like, you know, these are just real curious people who are genuine and they want to explore this and they want to learn as much as they can, and they don't know what. That's one thing that I've come to understand about the BDSM community anyway. It's like they're a very caring and thoughtful community.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Possibly more so because they don't assume that everyone's looking out for themselves.
Yeah. So. Oh, well, I'm glad that you guys dug that as well. That, again, was a listener submission. So send us the stuff that you want us to listen to, because here's a perfect example of us listening to it and loving it.
Yeah, there's a unanimous one. So that's really, really
heck
good.
Yes. Oh, Patrick, are you going to subscribe?
Maybe.
Do you know what? Even the maybe makes me happy. I'm okay with a maybe.
Well, we've got two maybes in 2 weeks, so we're doing well.
I know. It's better than a no.
It's a no from me.
He's the Simon Cowell of this podcast. Oh, no.
Everyone knows that Simon Cowell is the best judge, right?
They can't see you do that.
That's why
I just looked at you, Patrick. I don't know what you mean. Well, shall we move on to the psychedelic salon?
Sure. Tell me what you guys thought of the psychedelic salon and what episodes did you listen to, if any?
I listened to several because I really wanted to give this one a good try because of the reaction that I had to Ramdas. I wanted to not smear this podcast with the same brush, and it is easier to digest than Ramdas's Here and Now. So I listened to Plants in Mind, and I listened to the first two parts of Understanding the Chaos at History's End. I will say it's hard. This one was still work. More interesting because science is where it gets me, and I love this kind of science. Unfortunately, it's still a little bit too speculative.
Woo-woo? Yeah.
That is woo-woo is the word I wanted to use.
But the thing I appreciate about Terrence, who features predominantly on this, is he, I think, has always taken a scientific approach to the woo-woo. He's trying to reduce it. He's not just experiencing it or reading about it and going, yeah, no, this is what I kind of feel or vibe from this. He's almost trying to drive it into a corner and being like, what is this experience? What is actually happening here?
Yeah, so and he does, you can feel that energy. Unfortunately, it does feel like they're trying to force science to fit their view, and they just kind of ignore it when it doesn't.
Yeah.
And that just kind of grated on me a little bit. So this is one where I'm willing to let you curate specific episodes for me, but I don't think I'll be subscribing to the Psychedelic Salon. Even though I found it interesting, it was a lot of work to kind of get myself in a headspace where I'm happy to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was not in a headspace where I was happy to listen to this.
Had a rough couple of weeks, Liz.
I didn't listen to a full episode. I started and tried three episodes and got about a third of the way through and just went, you're not focusing, you can't. Again, it could be me, but it could just be that I don't like this style of podcast. And I think that I like to think of myself as a spiritual person, but then when I listen to your podcast, I go, I am not a spiritual person at all. These people have it down pat. And I am such a cynical shit that I just,
but also,
for me, it was work and I was not in the right frame of mind. I listened to the Chaos at History's End.
Yeah, the episode. Understanding the Chaos at History's
End. I listened to part of part one and part of part two. I really want to like the ideas behind these podcasts and it's probably because I'm just the least mindful person in the world and I'm the least, you know, I'm impatient and I'm, you know.
You are not.
I shut up. Let me talk. I'm impatient, damn it. it was a struggle for me, not the least of which because I'm operating on 3.5 hours sleep. I wonder if I were ever in a full waking state whether I might enjoy this, but because I like my podcasts to be able to wash over me while I'm doing other things. And I feel like there are so many ideas just whirling at me that I get overwhelmed. And also I couldn't not
lecture style podcasts are hard to consume when you're not ready to
receive the knowledge.
Receive knowledge in that format. I think.
Yeah. See, the lecture style podcasts that I have subscribed to are the people that I'm already on. Like I know them before I listen to their lectures. It's not like I'm being introduced to them.
Yeah. And I'm not like, I really wanted to ask you, when we were talking about this podcast, what it is about this style of podcast that you like, because I know
it's not this style of podcast. It's the speakers that this is the only way to get Terrence McKenna.
Right.
Because he's dead.
Yes.
And it's the only way to get 1980s Rum Dass, pre-stroke Rum Dass.
Yeah. Controversial. I just couldn't, with both of them, I just had this Jim Jones microphone talking. This is what, like, through the whole thing I'm like, fuck, no wonder he liked the Jonestown Massacre episode of Case File, because this just seems to me as like, yeah, what do you think, you know, the whole rambling talk and occasionally asking for feedback, you know. Yeah, it's too woo-woo for me. Not a woo-hoo, it's a woo-woo.
I'm not afraid of the woo-woo, it's just
the boring woo-woo. No,
I think it's I really take it personally when people take new discoveries in science and run with it in a direction that is not science. And I think looking back, we have that benefit of like, well, obviously what they're saying is not 100% correct, so let's just disregard everything.
The host even acknowledges that in a few episodes. He does. Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah.
He does. And so that's why this isn't a total write-off. Because I think Terrence would have
too
me.
If he – yeah. Were alive.
Mm. Well, yeah, maybe.
I mean, he would have looked very silly in 2012. But I feel like he would have recovered.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Yeah, so I think that this is a no from Liz and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe we just need to do some mushrooms sometimes, Liz.
Oh, well, this is what I was thinking. I was like, do I not understand this, because the only drugs I've ever been hooked on are fucking prescription painkillers? Like, I'm like the suburban housewife of drug taking, you know. I just haven't ever. And I think maybe I would watch
that TV show. Oh, wait. They made Weeds, right?
Yeah. That TV show. Valley of the Dolls. Like, but I'm thinking, well, maybe if I did do something, I might find deeper meaning in these kinds of podcasts. Who knows?
Yeah, look,
maybe you'll start a cult. Maybe
I could run a cult. Between Pat and I, we could have a cult run. Oh, down, yeah, for sure. Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Down Pat.
You'd be, yeah. Well, what would your role be? Would we be like a sort of husband and wife kind of pair?
Yeah, I feel like it would be like the you were like the insightful one and I'd be like the charisma, but then flicking on a dime to smack people back into line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would be the disciplinarian.
I would be the disciplinarian, but in a so good really
cop, bad
nice
cop, bad cop. Yeah, because yeah, actually yeah. Then I'd float in and be like, hey
let's all love let's each relax. Other. Stuff. Have you watched Bad Times at
I
the
have.
LAR yet?
Yeah.
You would be the Chris Hemsworth style cult leader.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I'd be less violent.
Well, yeah, but it's the whole like dancing while eating ice cream thing. But yeah, I feel like, I'd be like kind, and then if you fucked any of the cult members over, I'd be like,
Will you? I don't know why you're looking at me. It's making me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. See, this is my power. Let's do this, Pat.
Yeah.
Let's run a cult.
All right. Well, what did you think of Challenging Behaviors?
You said we wouldn't love it. I want to go on the record and saying I enjoyed it immensely.
I said I was worried you wouldn't love it.
No, I was kind of in a fuck podcast brain this afternoon after I'd listened to Psychedelic Salon. And then I hit this on and I was like, found myself involved in spite of myself. So I'm confession time. Yes, I review movies and TV and I've never seen Breaking Bad ever.
Oh,
I know. It's a point of contention in my household that my mother's two favorite TV shows have been like Breaking Bad and Six Feet Under, and I've watched neither, and she's devastated.
They're both very good.
I've
not seen Six Feet Under though, but my mother's the same.
Yeah, yeah. She says that the last episode of Six Feet Under is the finest episode of television that she's seen in recent history.
Have you seen episode four of True Detective where they have that like?
Don't tell me I haven't seen that either. I'm a horrible person. I see all this stuff, but not like I only just recently watched all of Fargo and I loved it. So I didn't know who this guy was, but when I Googled him, what's his name? RJ.
RJ Mitt.
Yes. So when I Googled him, his face was incredibly.
Oh, it might be Mitte. I'm not sure.
His face was very familiar. Like yep. I recognized him instantly, and I adored what he was saying, talking about representation in film and television not being about the disability but just having a person being there. And I was recently watching a TV show called Marcella on Netflix, and they have an actress in that who just has one arm, and there's nothing about it in the show other than the fact that she just has one arm. And I love that. Yeah, I watched
Weddings and a Funeral the other day because I hadn't seen it. Well, if I had seen it, it was only like in pieces.
You are very young, so that's understandable.
But the relationship between God, spoiler alert, the fellow that dies and then the Scottish guy.
There's a funeral in the title, I'm not sure.
But you know. Yeah. But also how that's just sort of like an unspoken gay relationship, but it's not.
Yeah, it's, and I like it when they make that's things their gay friends, not like issues-y.
Yeah.
And I really liked just talking, listening to them talk about different things that I hadn't even considered would be a problem that then made me feel like I need to consider more of these things and I need to start listening to these episodes so I can be a better ally.
Exactly what it's about, challenging behaviours, challenging what you do unconsciously.
So it's not something that I would go, hey, I'm going to listen to this for entertainment, but it's something that I would go, hey, you know what I want to do today? I'd like to be a better person, so I'm going to listen to an episode and kind of see how I can be less ableist, I guess, about living my life. Like even things like when they talk about having accessible toilets and everyone just thinks that means like having a rail or being able to fit a wheelchair through it, but then they're talking about how some people actually need to be changed or change their clothes whilst lying on the floor and there's no changing spaces to do that in public, so people have to lie down on a toilet floor to change their clothes. And I found it fascinating and it made me want to do better. So that's where I came from.
Yeah, I think you articulated it very well last episode. You said it's very likely that – well, you said you appreciated it, but you're not like in love with it.
Yeah.
Or like super – that's, how I felt. Like I'm not going to be binge listening to this podcast, but I really appreciated it. I thought they did a very good job considering. Like I was expecting it to be a lot more sort of garagey sort of bare bones operation, but they were surprisingly well polished. And they were engaging and it was interesting, all of the above.
I loved how excited the host was to talk
they were really enthusiastic as well. And like the one you gave me, Frank Turner. I'd never heard of this guy before, but they were super excited to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's really endearing. And you can tell that they really are trying to make the world a better place and it's infectious.
And I think you're right. I love that this exists and I love that it has the potential to change people's behaviours, and I love that it's there for the people who are disabled and for the people who aren't. Like I think it's never going to blow up and be, you know, the dollop or cereal, but it's there for those who need it or seek it out.
Yeah, and I think this is definitely one that will be passed around from friend to friend and from group to group.
Yes, it's a very word of mouthy.
I think so.
Yeah.
At least that's what I hope. That's why what I hope from putting it out on our podcast is that more people will listen to it and pass it on.
Gandhi, Zane.
Yes, I am like Gandhi.
Yeah, Zane is Gandhi. We're not saying he's Gandhi, but he's Gandhi. In a
few specific ways.
I appreciate that you brought this to the table.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Thank you.
Ditto.
Yes. I appreciate that they submitted.
Yes, thank you.
User submission, and this is one of the ones where I would never have found this podcast if it wasn't for user submissions. So literally, if you're doing a podcast, send it through because I have a very broad range of what
and
I like.
And we want to help you get the word out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like when we find a podcast like this, or even not like this, but anything that we feel like should be heard, we want to be able to help you do that. And the sheer amount of submissions that we're getting shows that people are listening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. Should we move on to our recommendations? We have a theme this week.
We do have a theme.
Religion.
Yes, religion.
Because do we want to say why?
I don't know why.
I forgot why.
I actually have no idea.
It's a little bit iffy.
Yeah.
No. It's because it's April 1st. This episode will come out on April
1st.
That's
right.
So we've gone with religious-esque podcasts.
Because you see, when we say religion, if you've been listening from the start, you'll probably be laughing a little bit because you know that none of us
are particularly religious.
Perhaps a little spiritual. Some more spiritual than others, she says, gesturing at Patrick.
My last two submissions could probably fall into this category.
But for me, it was challenging for me to find, because I don't listen to any religious podcasts, and when I found the one that I found, I was a bit fucking excited, you guys.
I bet you were.
Well, don't tease us anymore. What is it?
It's called Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, everybody.
Now, is this speculative where it's the ninth Harry Potter book?
This is a what if we read works of fiction as if they were sacred texts and with the reverence of sacred texts. And what can we learn from them? And what are the stories trying to tell us? And can we delve into sentences that mean pretty much nothing when they're on the page on their own and make them mean something that's going to change the way that somebody else lives forever, a la the Bible?
Now, I've done a little bit of research into this podcast. One of them is a minister of some kind.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think she is Anglican.
I don't do research, so I just listen. But I think you're right.
Yeah, so that takes a little bit of the offensiveness away from it for me, I think.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I don't find it offensive because for me, I think we should be delving into the meanings of the books.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I know that I think it's probably they're calling it a sacred text so much as what might make people go, how dare you worship false gods?
I think I'm worried because I know if I was doing a podcast with this sort of premise, I might be offensive.
Yes.
In some way.
Yes. This is
so I hope
I can
that
see
they're
how
not.
That would happen. Yeah. but yeah, basically each week they explore a central theme through which the characters have gone through based on the chapters of all of the Harry Potter books. So they go back and start at the start. They have a little competition at the start of each episode of who can summarize what happened in the chapter the quickest. just to give you all a bit of a rundown. It is designed to be a read-along podcast. So you kind of it's like a book club in that they encourage you to read the chapter and then listen to the episode, but you don't have to because they give a pretty good rundown. Oof,
one chapter a week is that is a long podcast.
I think that they assume that this is people who have pored over the text lovingly for
fanatics.
Years.
There are a lot of those people, aren't there?
Who can give a skim of it. Like I've probably read through the entire series maybe three times in my life, but adored and lingered over every single book. Big Harry Potter fan, Slytherin, just in case any of y'all were wondering, as if you couldn't tell anyway.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
I'm also Ravenclaw.
Yeah, look, Thinky 1 and Thinky 2, I get that from you guys. I get that. The sweary one's the Slytherin, of course. So they encourage you to read along so that the details from the chapter are kind of fresh in your mind, but if you don't, that's fine. And so like, for example, one of the first chapters they talk about is they talk about loneliness and the need for empathy with Harry Potter living under the stairs and having no friends and being, you know, not a sad sack and everything.
Yeah.
She says with compassion. So, you know, and each time they'll pick a character and talk about what their theme evokes and why we should be better humans to each other based on Harry Potter. So this is the most religious that I could get without being actually religious because I'm not and I don't want to listen to another psychedelic salon.
Well, would you like me to tell you how religious I could get without getting religious?
I would love for you to tell me.
My recommendation this week is Zealot, which is a podcast to do with the different cults that are out there.
How was this not my suggestion?
Yeah.
How?
So this is another Australian podcast run by, what is her name? Jo Thornley. Jo Thornley, and she basically gets a comedian or performer friend in and tells them about the weird, horrifying, hilarious, embarrassing, just mind-boggling things that cults throughout the years have done. And so they go through, some of them are like what you think of when you think of cults, a whole bunch of people in a compound doing whatever. But then there's also like a cult of personality. So there's a woman that does a series of YouTube videos that kind of, it's not a cult in the true sense of the word, but she definitely has a whole bunch of widespread followers and supporters.
And they're the type of people who would like attack anybody who said anything bad against them.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. So that's pretty, it's a very simple premise, and I believe she's writing a book as she does the podcast. So she's writing a book about
I think
cults.
It's just come out. I was reading a story on news.com.au about her the other day, and I'm pretty sure that was like an extract from the book. So it's either just come out or it's about to come out.
Well, I'll have a look for
it. It's called Zealot.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find a link and put that in the show notes.
Funnily enough, like I heard of Zealot, and I remember when Zane first said he didn't know where he was going to put it, but he first said he wanted to put it on his list and that it wasn't very well known. And I was like, oh, well. A couple of weeks ago when they were doing their – I think this was back in September in 17. It was, because I – just jumped on the My Favourite Murder train only to find out that it left the station a month before I got on it. But the girl – so at every live episode they get somebody up to tell a hometown story.
Yep.
And the girl that they got to get up and tell the hometown was Jo Thornley. And so she talked about her podcast and she's like, oh, I have a podcast, by the way, it's called Zealot. And that week Karen and Georgia were like jokingly getting the shits because Zealot overtook them in the charts week. So it blew up because they got a mention on MFM, it's pretty special.
That's good. So I have specified specific episodes for both of you. For Pat, it's The Family with Shirley Stocken. And for Liz, it is The Universe People with Patrick Lenton.
So why? Why those two for each of us?
Honestly, those are the ones that I like the best.
Uh-huh.
And they're two that I didn't know about before I go, because those of you who know me, Scientology is a big trigger for me. Like Scientology is one of the things that can make me actually angry. Mm. So I steered away from Scientology episode because I don't want to talk about that again. but The Universe People, and The Family are two interesting episodes that I hadn't heard about before. So I wanted to share them with my friends.
This has given me some good ideas for some things to add to that Word document about curated episodes.
I thought were going to say this has given me some good ideas for the cult that you and I started.
Also that. Well, I'll have better ideas after listening to Zealot. But there's one episode, there's actually a couple of Rogan episodes. He gets a cult deprogrammer on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I'll find for you if you haven't already listened to that. And then there's a couple of Scientology ones. He has...
David. He's not listening to the Scientology ones. No. Look at the pain on his face.
He has Ron Miscavige on, who's David's father, and how that whole Shelley, thing fell apart.
Where's Shelley?
Yeah.
He's also had Leah Remini.
Yeah.
Those are all excellent. Mm. But the Ron Miscavige one is pretty heartbreaking because this guy just doesn't have a relationship with his son anymore.
As if you
Who
would.
Who could? Like he's, yeah. Mm. I mean, yeah. Let's not get into Scientology.
No Scientology. What are you bringing to the table this week?
I actually managed to get pretty reasonably religious with this one. This podcast is the Jordan B. Peterson podcast, which isn't necessarily religious, but he has a series of lectures called The Psychological Significance of the Bible.
Mm. And he is well known for being a religious person.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he identifies as Christian, I think. But when asked, do you believe in God, he's never really given a solid-ish answer because he's got some sort of weird epistemological kind of
I've listened to a couple of debate episodes where he's been debating for religion against an atheist. So yeah.
I've heard him on Sam Harris's actually a number of times, but they got bogged down in the nature of what truth is. So they couldn't really get to, you know, the meat and potatoes of it. But what I really liked about this is because I think like I went to a Catholic school and then I was atheist and then I took a few mushrooms and I was no longer quite as atheist as that. And then
the giant fungus in the sky.
Yeah. But then when I heard this, I was like, I understood sort of the utility of religion and not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, is what I guess I was doing quite a bit when I was sort of a bit more of a hardcore atheist. Like there's nothing really... to take from this, but then the way I heard him articulate some of these things, I was like, oh, I actually see the utility in that and why that might actually be useful. And yeah, not just basically whitewashing an entire
sure.
culture and religion.
And so that's what the psychological significance of the Bible
series is about? Yeah, he sort of, I think he starts with Genesis and tries to muddle his way through, but he gets off on tangents and all that sort of stuff.
So I'm going to try really hard to go into this with an open mind because I know who Jordan B. Peterson is.
Well, yeah, he's had a little bit of notoriety in Australia.
Yes, he's a very
recently.
Polarizing figure.
I am not a fan. He makes me really fucking angry because...
For the record, Zane is neither.
Yeah, so you're in the middle this time.
No, I'm not a fan of him personally either.
Yeah.
I find him super problematic.
Yes.
But listening to the podcast, of course.
I'm interested to see, because, and I think we were discussing this a little bit off air, is that he's one of those figures who he's not universally hated. He's hated or loved, and there seems to be very little in between. And I am interested to see whether I can understand the love from listening to his thoughts on the Bible, because I'm all, you know, I'm heavily into psychology. It fascinates me. The only reason I'm not a psychologist right now is because the idea of having to do stats and pass it with flying colors to do my honors scared the shit out of me. Sorry, Mum. And so hearing a religious psychologist I find interesting, very interesting. And I'm going to try really hard to put my predisposition and my already angry feelings against this person to the side, because I really want to understand him more than the outrage that I have understood.
And I will say we have dealt with problematic podcast hosts in the past.
Yes.
I mean, Joe Rogan has known his amount of controversy, and Dan Savage as well has also been in the news.
What I might recommend as a more comprehensive introduction is the first time he appears on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Would you recommend me listening to that before I listen to an episode of the Bible series?
I think probably.
Okay. I will do this because I respect you and because I respect being open-minded.
Okay.
That's very magnanimous. Great.
I know, darling.
All right. Well, then those are our recommendations for this week. If you would like to submit your own recommendations to us, you can find us at thatsnotcanonproductions.com/castology. You can also find us on Facebook, we're on Instagram and or Twitter.
Yes.
Yes.
And Twitter. Anything else?
Not as yet.
There aren't really many things.
We're on email, castology@gmail.com.
Castology@gmail.com. Not on MySpace or Bebo, unfortunately.
No. But if there is a need of the people, we will go there. So let us know.
Yes.
And let us know your responses to our recommendations.
Yeah.
Let us know what you're thinking.
Please do, because I imagine this will be...
I think next episode's going to be spicy.
That's a spicy episode. We'll put some extra time aside for that one, I think.
I think, cool. Yeah. Yep. I think we'll need a little bit longer than normal to chat.
All right. Great. Well, thank you very much for tuning in, as always. And thank you to my beautiful... guests. No, not guests.
Wow, we're guests now, are we?
Well,
not,
I guess.
Not co-host.
I was going to say guest host, and I was like, that's not right. No. It's co-host.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my beautiful co-hosts.
Zane C. Weber.
Liz Best.
And I have been Patrick Shearer, but who knows if I'll be that next time.
Dependent on the mushrooms, I think.
Yeah. And how much backlash I get.
We'll backlash you into a different personality.
Well, okay. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Cheerio.
Bye.
What's your favorite TV show?
What's your favorite movie?
Do you think The Godfather is overrated?
Then you've tuned into the right place. I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
I'm Chanstar.
And we're the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. In-depth discussions on movies and TV. There's interviews, commentaries, and more top 10 lists than you can imagine. It's all available at the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers, available wherever you get your podcasts. Also available at thatsnotcanonproductions.com.